think what's important to know is that this is a really relevant social issue right now in our country, obviously, certainly in the state of Kentucky, and definitely for college campuses. So we know that the age group that typically goes to college, that's the age group, especially women, that are more likely to be sexually assaulted and raped. So it's just a really important issue for our whole campus, I think, and for our whole community, for people to come out and get engaged with these issues.
What is a rape kit?
When someone is assaulted and they go to report, they go to a center, hospital, advocacy center, and there are people, I believe, that are trained in this area that process women's bodies and gather evidence from their bodies. So it's very personal, and all of that information is put into a kit, a box. It's sealed with tape and is meant to be processed in ideally a certain amount of time in order to be able to, you know, get the evidence to find the assailant and, you know, resolve, bring justice to this crime that has happened.
Why the backlog of rape kits?
That is a great question. I think the research suggests a couple of different things. A big part of it was lack of resources and funding, but another part was just how you think about crime and what you're going to prioritize and who you're going to spend your time investigating and follow up on. Some of the psychological research that has been done on this suggests that police and law enforcement are affected by things like rape myths, just like the rest of society is. So they made some distinctions about the certain ones of these kits didn't need to be tested.
The movie I Am Evidence was produced by Mariska Hargitay. Which one of the cop shows is she on?
She's on Law & Order's Special Victims Unit.
Do you know the genesis of her involvement with this? Is that really what helped get this documentary off the ground?
Yeah, absolutely. She, you know, actors are in a great position. Many people know about them, know who they are, and so she was receiving letters from victims, from females, telling their stories and how this show related to, you know, incident that they had been a part of. And she, Mariska, felt strongly that as an actress, she couldn't just do enough. She felt like she needed to become an advocate. And so she found her place and she helped produce this documentary.
How does I Am Evidence work as a documentary, as a viewing experience? Is it compelling?
Yes, absolutely. The information itself is pretty overwhelming. One of the statistics is that they estimate about 400,000 of these kits are across our whole nation are just being stored and have not been processed according to how these crimes are supposed to be processed.
So that's 400,000 assaults, 400,000 different people who are just waiting for something to happen?
Yes. And so in Kentucky alone, in 2015, Kentucky's numbers were around, I believe, 5,000 kits that the state auditor discovered were backlogged, had not been tested.
Does the movie follow just a handful of different women, or is there like one central character? What's the narrative like for this documentary?
So it follows four different women and kind of goes through their experience with the justice system and what happened and didn't happen, what they thought or didn't think was going to happen to their. Because the assumption is after you do these medical evaluations, typically by a trained nurse, and you agree to get your rape kit submitted for criminal investigation, you assume that that will happen. And that's exactly what they found, that most of the time, a lot of times it doesn't happen, and a lot of these women didn't know that that was the case.
And when did they find out? Years later, after the assaults took place?
Yeah, in some instances. So there's been one researcher in Michigan. She's in Detroit, Michigan State University. Her name is Rebecca Campbell. she's done a lot of this research, and some of those cases were like 30 years old. And some of them had no idea that it never was tested. So some of them had law enforcement knock on their door 30 years later to let them know that this was found out, and now they're going to do something about it.
And so Kentucky is actually at the forefront of getting these rape kits tested. To what do we owe that being the case?
I guess we can thank our state auditor, Adam Edelin, and Andy Beshear for following through with what obviously is a nationwide concern, but being one of eight states right now that have passed laws that demand this assessment of the backlog and then have set in place current rules that will prevent this from happening again.
And Kentucky's on with some high-populated states like Illinois and New York, but the first thing that sticks out to me is California is not on this list, and so many people live in California. Just imagine that one state and how many untested rape kits there may be there, and then look at the other states that haven't done it. This is not a problem that has been solved, right? I mean, we're climbing the mountain trying to get public awareness to the point to where this becomes nationally an issue that's going to bring about change, right?
Absolutely. And as Dr. Carlson mentioned earlier, you know, it's perception, too. It's awareness, one, awareness about these backlogs. The woman in Detroit, the prosecutor, she just had no idea that these backlogs existed. So as the system starting to discover this, you know, there is more awareness, and they are trying to find solutions. But it is also part of the perception is changing, these perceptions and how these cases are handled at the time that they, you know, happen.
Katie, when did you first become aware of this issue?
I knew about Kentucky's backlog. I watched this film, and I had no idea and its relation to the nation and other states. So I sort of just thought this might have been a Kentucky glitch, and that a few thousand, well, they've got them addressed. 2017, they addressed those backlogs, but, you know, in this movie, they talk about Detroit has like 10 to 11,000 that are backlogged, and you mentioned LA, and actually there's some controversy about LA and how they've handled their backlog. It hasn't been as transparent as Kentucky. So for me, this was really eye-opening, and just so important, because you can identify the assailants by doing this with these kits. This evidence, it affirms the account of the attack. You can identify serial offenders. And these kits, I think they test in Detroit, affected crimes in 39 states. So this evidence that is collected of a very personal nature, you know, also has a really important, its level of importance is just much higher than I think people realize.
The shows are going to be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night. I noticed that you've highlighted Friday, the guest panel, which is going to have, in addition to Dr. Carlson, a Dr. Jared Rosenberger from the Sociology Department at Murray State, as well as Shannon Farley, a probation and parole officer here in Callaway County, and Stacy Todd, a sexual assault response team coordinator from LOTUS. Do you have any idea of what direction this is going to go in, and are you prepared for it to go in pretty much any direction?
We're going to try to be prepared. We put together a panel that we hope can provide information from different aspects of this issue. Personally, I'm expecting it to be a difficult topic, right? People have a difficult time to talk about sexual assault, but yet it's so important. So I'm assuming that people have lots of opinions, some of them more informed than others, and that we're just hoping that we will be able to create an atmosphere where we can talk about these things and raise some of this awareness that is needed related to this issue. And, I mean, hopefully encourage people that are affected to speak up and report and maybe seek services if they need some help.